Awesome. Hi, it's Diane. It is Wednesday, February 4th, and I'm with the 1 p.m. group. We have Tamar and Christine and Christina and Julie with us today. A few other folks might be joining us. But let's just get started with a quick check-in. How are things going for everybody? Who wants to start?
I guess I will. Things are, as always, it's always so up and down. And right now it's sort of just in the middle, and we're kind of cruising without any hot issues, I guess. Other than the fact he's got a book report due tomorrow and just finished the book. But, you know, I'm going to let go.
Wait, I'm sorry. So he finished the book?
Well, he did. Yeah, he listened to it. Luckily, it wasn't. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm going to do a happy dance with you on that one, because my daughter has not finished the book report book maybe once. And it usually gets to like two chapters left and then just writes the book report, because she gets exhausted of reading. So that's, I would think that's something to celebrate. It may not feel like it, but.
Yeah. All right. I will. I am celebrating it. So, you know, but.
I guess so I can relate my. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
This is Tamara. So my son handed in his first book report this week, and I was struggling to try to work with him on it, but we had him work on it with a tutor, the reading tutor, and he did really well. Like, he got through the whole thing. Not only did he read the book, but he wrote the report, which I was shocked.
Awesome. So, Tamara, was there anything else you wanted to check in about, or is that?
Well, that's not my take game. My take game is something else, but.
Okay. But that's something to celebrate. That's good. Who else wants to check in? Have you guys been doing, anybody ask for help? I'm curious whether anybody had experience with that as well.
This is Julie, and I did ask for help a little bit by asking my husband for a date, because I think that that's going to help me to sort of talk through. He doesn't know it yet, but talk through some of the stuff that's been kind of bogging down my mind. So I did ask for help there. We are, like somebody else said, on the roller coaster too, and at home with the kids, it's not a great spot right now. So I figured out what I want to take a game on as well.
Okay. All right. Who did I miss? Just somebody that didn't check in.
I haven't spoken up yet.
Sorry, I'm not recognizing the voice. Is this Christine or Christina?
Yeah, this is Christina from Wisconsin. I was just going to say
Christina.
That.
Christina, okay.
Yeah,
got
and
it.
I have an almost 10-year-old. things are good. It's interesting. They're kind of clamping down on his behavior at his new school. And this is actually a good thing. It's a school for kids with learning disabilities, so they know, it's such a blessing, they know how to deal with children like him and, you know, turn things positive and give him power. But at the same time, he had to sit in the pit, which is just in a little empty room during lunch,
right,
for slamming a computer closed because he didn't want to work on the writing prompt. And, you know, it's a big issue. Writing is his hardest issue because he's got the dysgraphia, and he's so damn smart that he just wants to write about what he wants to write about. He doesn't want to write about the teacher's prompt about, you know, whatever pet you could have in the world and why. So it's good. they're getting cooperation out of him, and they're giving him responsibility for whining and difficulties and misbehavior and eating his snack because he's hypoglycemic. So the thing I'm seeing and realizing about him is just, you know, he's got a little bit of that ODD, that oppositionalness, just a little bit. and I don't know how to work on that. I mean, this teachers might be able to help. We had a conference with him yesterday, and they really seem to get him and understand him and not judge him. It's really lovely. But, you know, then he comes home and, you know, tells me that he's going to read before bed, whether I tell him to or not, and we have to, you know, have a little conversation about how, you know, no, you can't just do whatever the hell you please. Like, you know, you're 9 years old, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out how to deal with that.
Well, and it sounds like, It sounds like it's triggering you, Christina. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, because I've tried to be sort of this sort of mellow, positive mom, and you know, and not and realizing that, you know, with such a strong-willed kid and he's really smart, you know, that he understands that I can't make him eat something. I can't make him take a nap. I mean, he's known this since he was 18 months old, right? And so I was kind of looking at, okay, let this go or break the child's spirit, you know, duct tape him to the bed and make him take it, you know. And so I've sort of just let some of these things go and focused on fighting the battles that really matter. But in a sense, I feel like it's you know, he kind of feels like, well, maybe I can just do whatever I want here. And
yeah, so you're picking your battles, but you feel that you're getting this sense of feeling taken advantage of, and it's
yes. And
it's bugging you. Yeah. Well, and it makes sense, because if you feel like he's trying to get the upper edge on you and that he's manipulating it, you know, it's really easy to get triggered in that situation. And at the same time, you know that you know it's not effective to try to fight every battle. And so, how do you balance? Yeah. How do you figure out how to draw the line, and how do you keep the quote unquote upper hand as the parent without feeling like a dictator?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I didn't have it modeled at home. My parents were either cruel or they gave in. Like, there was no kind of in-between sort of love and logic kind of approach. So I don't have anything to fall back on other than screaming, and I, you know, try to avoid that. But at a certain point, you know, I just can't.
Yeah, well, and so my step one, and I just was talking to a client about this morning, is just to kind of manage your own triggers and to really pay attention about what it's, you know, what is it about it that's bugging you, and really look at that. And, you know, if we have some time, we can do some coaching around it. But it's, you know, if you can stay really calm and not just gritting your teeth calm, but really, okay, you know what, I'm going to figure this out, we can get through this, then you'll stay in that problem-solving mode. And if you can get curious without judgment and say, okay, what is it about this that's so important to him, that those two pieces together enable you to really figure out when to pick the battle or how to pick the battle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because usually what happens is that we end up triggered and we end up trying to fight every battle, or we end up confused and we don't fight any battles, or we kind of throw in the towel constantly. So it's about staying engaged and staying calm is part of the two things I find are the most helpful in those situations.
Right, yeah, and, you know, just seeing the little thing, you know, I can tell when he's going to go down a road of resistance. You know, yesterday I asked him 7 times whether he'd gotten his, you know, a little bit of homework done, and his response was, what do you think? You know, so.
Great. So a couple of you said you already know where you're going to take aim. So why don't we go back around and just see, where do you want to take aim? Christine, you want to go?
Yeah, just staying calm when he starts to, you know, do those little machinations and try to figure out what's going on, and, you know, being aware that this could throw me over the edge if I'm not careful and don't step back and take a couple deep breaths.
So I'm going to redirect you just a little bit, because everybody's at this point where with the taking aim. So we want to take aim on the challenge, not the solution. So the solution might be some strategies to stay calm. What's the challenge that you're addressing?
The challenge is I just getting cooperation from him on sort of, you know, relatively small day-to-day things, and having everyone feel empowered about it and not, you know, emotionally abused.
Okay. So, getting him to follow through, whether it's, you know, taking a shower or doing chores, is there something in particular that's a particular sticky point for you?
Chores and homework. And chores and homework, let's see.
Great. Okay, so does that feel like a clear place to take aim?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, good. All right. Julie, I think you said that you knew what you were going to take aim on, too.
Yes, I thought I did, and then, as always, something else kind of popped in. I'm thinking about two things. One is back talk, and then the other one is mean to his sister.
Okay.
He kind of cuts her down, breaks her down, and he's just mean. So I'm not sure if you can help me figure if one should go before the other.
Okay, so if I was going to tell you that today's topic is about putting your oxygen mask on first, which one feels more connected to that?
I guess the back talk.
Okay, all right. So, good. So it's specifically when he's being...
I'm trying to think if there's a certain time of day or if it happens a lot. It's
is it the way that he's expressing? Is it the way he's expressing his opinion? Is it the way that he's not just saying yes, ma'am, and moving on? What is it that?
Well, it's like everything has to have a smart aleck response. It like okay. Anything, you know. If it's
remind me, how old is he?
He's 10.
10. Okay.
Yeah. But there's always just attitude and pushback and sass.
Yeah. Okay. Tamar, you said you knew where you were going to take aim.
So I'm going to take aim on my son's backpack. It's a scary place sometimes, you know. I don't go through his backpack every day like I probably should, but I don't know. Either he's like carrying around bricks or... I mean, he takes lunch tickets to school one day a week. I'm sorry, not lunch tickets, drink tickets. So they have pizza day on Wednesdays, and they take a drink ticket with them, and they get chocolate milk. I think it was Friday when I found the container of chocolate milk in his bag. I'm like, gross. Well, why are you bringing this home? Drink it in school. It's been sitting in your bag for 3 days. That's where
so
I
what is it about?
Be.
What is it about the backpack that's a challenge for you tomorrow? Is it besides the milk? Obviously, that's a big deal. It's got stuff in there that's gonna rot.
I mean, it's funny because I guess I struggle with the same thing, but he's got no concept of what he's carrying back and forth. And sometimes it's spoiled food. Sometimes it's homework that he forgot to hand in. Sometimes it's something that weighs a lot that he doesn't need to be carrying back and forth, like 3 water bottles, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's just that there's no rhyme or reason to what's in there, and it's just a matter of kind of staying clear on what's in there and that making sure that it's under control and under wraps.
Right. I mean, if he finds some, like, exciting bug, he'll take it home in his backpack, you know, with, like, somebody's lunch bag or something. You know, like, he's the creative type that, you know, he's a 9-year-old boy, and this is what he enjoys. You know, oh, Mom, look what I found at recess. Gross.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right, Christine, what about you?
Well, I'm thinking of... kind of the same as Christina, I think it was, of the sassy attitude from both teenagers and just, you know, a little bit of the entitled and, you know, where's my breakfast or what are you doing or calling me names. And, I mean, some of it I've let go, you know, as that it's an age thing and I don't react. But there's other times my daughter was just cranky getting up today and just – she was so rude. I'd put her bagel in the toaster oven, and she said something rude, and I just said, you know, you can finish it. I said, I am not going to be talked to that way. I'm done. And then she continued to be rude, and I just got my coffee and sat down. But I tend to handle it that way, but I hope that makes an impact, but I'm not sure. I guess that's a question for you by either shutting her down or letting some things slide in the sense that it's an age thing
and not reacting. Not that it's okay, but not being triggered and making a deal about it. But I guess that's what I'd like to take aim is being more respectful and grateful for some things that we do for them.
Okay. Well, and I guess I would encourage you, those are potentially two different things. So one is getting rid of the entitlement attitude and the sassy attitude, and that would get us back to neutral. And then the other is respect and gratitude, which is actually kind of two steps. So it's kind of like, I want you to stop being sassy and rude, and I want you to start being grateful and respectful. Does that resonate, that there might be two steps in there?
Yes. Yep.
So I just want to, it doesn't mean you can't get all the way to respectful and grateful, and you might need to do it in more than one step. And so just something to plant the seed around.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. So everybody's clear about where they're taking aim. And as I mentioned, our conversation today is about putting your own oxygen mask on first. And, you know, we talk a lot about self-care, and we do it because as parents we tend to forget that it's so important to really take care of your own needs sometimes. And especially as parents of complex kids, our needs often take the back seat. So we're busy taking care of everything for them. If whether you're an executive function mom like me and you're managing your whole family and making sure everybody's getting stuff done, or whether you're a mom who's having challenges with her own ADD and is just completely overwhelmed with trying to get everybody's stuff done, or whatever, you know, wherever you are on the spectrum, the reality is that as a mom of a complex kid, chances are you're not always the first thing on your list. And I still remember this. I love this kind of idea of putting your oxygen mask on first, because I have a very vivid memory. My son was 2 months old, and I was actually flying to Chicago tomorrow, and I was going home to see my family. And I'd flown a lot, but I had this very different viewpoint of the whole putting your oxygen mask on first thing, because here I am with an infant, and I'm like, okay, wait, what would happen if an emergency happened on the plane? I've got an infant with me now. How would I handle it? What am I supposed to do? And so I was listening with a very different ear, and I still remember that whole thing about putting your oxygen mask on first. And my initial reaction was, oh my gosh, I couldn't possibly do that. My life is less important than my child, and I've got to put my child first. And at some point in the process, I realized that if I was passed out on the floor of the plane, I wouldn't be able to help my kid. And I think that that's the thing for us to always remember, is that if we're, whatever passed out means for you, whether it's too overwhelmed or too angry or completely exhausted or hungry or lonely or whatever it is for you that kind of you need to be fed or taken care of, if you don't do that, for most of us, you're not able to parent with the same level of engagement or problem solving or support or love that you could if you actually had more energy or more, you know, rest or more whatever it is that you need. And so it's important for all of us to remember that putting our own needs first is sometimes really an important piece of it. The other piece of it is that it's really important that we model positive self-management for our kids, and I love that language, because our kids, you know, our kids are behind developmentally, and so, you know, I'm finally at the point where my daughter actually does brush her teeth every day. My son does not, unless he's, like, actually conscious of it, the whole thing. But, you know, taking care of ourselves and noticing what our body needs and noticing what our brain needs is so important for our kids particularly. And the more we model that for them and show that to them is really important. There was a mom on the call yesterday, and she was giving herself an A because she goes to the gym and she walks the dog and she goes out with friends and she's doing all those things, and she had this big aha because her kids never see her do it. And so they don't really see her taking care of herself and putting herself first. And so it's important that we do model. I mean, I don't know those of you who have daughters or, you know, maybe saying this, but I know for my daughter particularly, I want her to see a balanced mom. I don't want her to see, you know, crazy, type A, you know, overwhelmed mom. And so it's about really modeling well for all our kids, a role of self-care. So what comes up for all of you guys is I talk about putting your own oxygen mask on first.
One thing that this is Tamar. One thing that I just thought of is just even in the morning routine, like if I get up before the kids, which does not always happen, sometimes they're up before 6 for some reason, and get dressed and just start my day, like I get going, they see me that I'm ready. I'm not, you know, lounging around in my nightgown or walking around slowly. Like I'm up and about. It gets them going, and I think it's a big motivator for them to proceed with the morning routine, which, you know, sometimes does get stalled a bit. But, no, we're not playing with Legos now. No, we're not on the computer now. We're not, you know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And that even that moment, even taking 15 minutes ahead of time can make a difference.
Yeah, believe it or not, I mean, I'm doing this, like, meditation in the morning, and, you know, it's hard to do it because if the kids are up, they're banging on the door, and I'm trying to say this is mommy's quiet time, but I actually invited them in to join me with it today, and I was shocked. They were quiet the whole time. I was shocked. They just, you know, I showed them the position that I put my hands in, and I showed them, you know, how I do my breathing, and they were interested, and now that I showed them what I do, you know, they could respect that space of mine, or they can join me when I do it.
I love that. That's awesome. What was it like for you to have them there but not bugging you? Just kind of really just being present with you.
I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe it because when I was doing the meditation a day or two earlier, you know, my daughter's on the outside of the door and she's banging on my bedroom door and this and that. I'm like, and I told her, unless, like, you know, the apartment's on fire, just give me 5 minutes.
Right.
But, you know, she bumped her toe and that was really an emergency, you know, really.
Yeah.
But I was shocked.
Yeah.
I think that's really neat that they came in, though, and they were quiet and included and they felt that special time with you. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
they got into it, and I feel like now if they see me, you know, I don't have to lock the door, but the bedroom door, but if they see me in that stage, I can just welcome them to sit down next to me and either participate or just watch. And you know, I was like, wow, this is really working. This is unbelievable.
Awesome. What about anybody else? What comes up for you around oxygen mask?
Well, I guess I have to laugh. Just my son starts school, this is Christine, late on Wednesdays. And so between 9 and 10, I do an in-home workout on Wednesdays. And so I'm doing my stuff, lifting my weights and whatever, and he comes down and he looks at me and he snickers and he shakes his head like I'm crazy. Like, it's so funny because, you know, you talk about the modeling and showing him what, you know, what we do for ourselves. But he continually says that, you know, I like to tease him that I'm stronger than him. And he's like, you know, he thinks he's strong. He thinks he goes and does his workouts. And he is strong, I mean, for sure. But he doesn't validate anything that I'm doing, but I think it's because he's 17. So
yeah,
I'm sure in the future, and I think I don't know, he doesn't show it. Maybe he's embarrassed that I'm doing it in front of him. I don't know. But he's just,
well,
he's.
And this is the thing, is it's less about, you know, it's like part of us wants the feedback to go, oh, yeah, our kids get it. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's more subtle than that. And I think about, even with my daughter, it's you know, it's like I'd ask my kids to go to the gym with me, and they wouldn't. And then all of a sudden, I came home one afternoon, and my daughter was out for a walk. She had her earbuds in, and she was just walking, and she was getting some exercise. And it was like, okay, awesome, great. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you can ask and ask and ask, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of clicks in. And so it's, you know, it's about noticing what they are doing. And I think the other thing is being transparent and saying, if you notice that they're making good choices from a health perspective or, then, you know, just to celebrate that with them. Say, hey, you know, congratulations. It looks like, you know, you did a good job doing X, Y, Z, taking care of yourself. You got a full night's sleep. How did that feel? You know, you got a good workout today. What was that like for you? You know, just really kind of dialoguing about it and making it more external sometimes can make a difference for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you? So you're doing your workout at home. Is there anything else when you think about, Christine, about putting your oxygen mask on first when it comes to sassy attitudes? What would that look like?
Well, it would be to be, I guess, taking a breath and breathing into it. I don't. My gut reaction to sassy attitudes is to not react and not say anything. But sometimes I feel like by not reacting or not saying anything, does that mean that they are thinking it's okay? Is it, you know, that they can talk that way or? I don't have a good
response. Well, and I think that there's a continuum. So so sometimes I think you do have to let it go because sometimes it's just they're having a bad day or they're having a hormone rush or whatever it is. And I think that it's about kind of in my mind I have this continuum. If it's just kind of this underlying nagging sort of sass back, a lot of times I'll ignore it. If it does kind of bite at me. You know, either because I'm having a bad day or because it was particularly harsh, I might say, ouch, or that was unexpected, or I might even say, try again, because it's like I'd like them to use a language that was a little bit more kind to each other. And part of that is that we have an agreement with each other generally about how we'll talk to each other, and it's supposed to go both ways. And so if I'm particularly harsh because I'm having a bad day, they have the right to say, Mom, try again. You know, it's like, can you, you know, that was that ouch. That was a little sharp, Mom. You know, so it's and then the other piece of it is knowing when to say, look, I'm not going to stand here. I don't know who said this, but it's like I'm not going to stand here and be treated like this. I'm going to take a time out, and when I come back, we'll finish the conversation. You know, so it's I think that there's. It's about kind of coming up with several tools that you could use, Christine, and then figuring out which one you need in the moment to feed you.
That makes sense. Yep.
And the thing that kind of just popped into my head the other night, my kids are both really in this funky mood. I have a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, and they're both, like, completely hormonal and just griping at each other while we were making dinner. And got dinner, the kids got their dinner at the table, they sat down, and I just took my plate, and I'm like, you know what, guys, I'm going to go upstairs, and I grabbed my plate, I went upstairs, I closed my room, I turned on a movie, and I just hung out by myself, because I really didn't want to be around kind of the negative, gripey stuff, and that's how I felt really great when I came back down, I was able to talk to them, re-engage, check in on homework, but I took the minute to kind of or an hour, actually, to really feed myself and take care of myself, put my oxygen mask on, and come back, which can be really helpful.
Yeah, that's good.
Anybody else? Is this something that's easy to do or hard to do or natural or forgotten?
This is Julie. I've been having a hard time doing this lately. I usually don't have so much of a hard time, but the last month or so has been a little harder to do this. So it's a good reminder for me to take my time and not feel guilty about it.
Yeah. So what do you find most gets in the way for you?
Guilt. I, as a working mom, I feel like I need to do better, be better, try to be more involved, blah, blah, blah. And so I talk myself into staying home, not going to the gym, or not doing things for me because of all these shoulds that keep pestering me in the back of my mind. So I need to push those away and put the oxygen mask on.
Well, and it's hard because you're an accomplished woman and you do well for yourself and you hold the bar pretty high.
Yeah.
So how do you know when to when to do the trade-off?
I think right now I'm in just a kind of a mental funk, and I think that it's because of this, because I haven't been doing for myself, and so I'm trying to, that's why I asked for the date with the husband, like, let's talk through this a little bit. I've got to figure out a plan so that I can do something for me, because I'm disappearing here, so.
So you're feeling like you're losing connection with who you are and what's important to you?
Yes.
Well, it's great that you've kind of already made this commitment to asking for date night. Do you have it scheduled, Julie?
No, not yet. It could be tonight. I don't know.
Have you actually gone through the process of asking? You've asked already. You just haven't scheduled, right?
Yes, I asked yesterday, and we couldn't do it last night. So it could be tonight. It could be this weekend. I don't know. But I will make it happen.
Well, you seem pretty dedicated to making it happen. Do you feel like you've got your husband on board to help you?
Yeah. Well, he says he is on board to, you know, just go to the gym. It's fine. But then sometimes there'll be a little remark, and I think, oh, well, maybe it's not fine. Maybe I shouldn't go to the gym. So I feel like I'm getting mixed messages from him, and so I'd like to talk that out.
Yeah. So you're feeling like it sounds like it's important for you to have his buy-in for you to go take care of yourself. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, I don't know why, but yes, you're right.
So, yeah, so I want to say that as gently as I can, but it sounds almost like you're asking permission.
Yes. I am, and I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so there's some thought, some belief underneath that, Julie, right? So there's something, so what does the voice in your head tell you when you think about going to the gym and taking care of yourself?
I think I see that as being selfish.
Okay, right. So if I take care of myself, I'm being selfish. And
right.
that's a natural reaction because you're busy taking care of everybody else and we're conditioned to believe that any focus on ourselves is a selfish sort of thing.
Yeah.
So is that your truth or is that just what the voice in the head says?
I'm not sure.
Fair. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how true is it that if you go to the gym, you're being selfish?
I want to say it depends, but I won't. So let's see.
No, go with 7.
I mean, it depends because it depends if I had a day off and I could do it during the day or if there was, you know, a different time.
Okay, so it feels selfish.
I want it all. So I want to be able to sleep for 8 hours at night and I want to go to work and I want to have a home-cooked meal and I want to have, you know, the kids to do their homework, but I can't have it all.
And so you feel like you have to let go of something in order to claim that space to go to the gym for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and it's hard because if you feel like it's a no-win situation, then there's going to be guilt. There's going to be you know, the feeling of compromise. Tell me about the last time you went to the gym. How did you feel when you got home?
I felt great. I felt so good. I was proud of myself because I had run, or I call it running, but it's really jogging, very slow jogging. But, you know, I had done that for more time than I had expected, and I just was really proud and happy. And then the next day I said something, or I think I had gone out to Bunko. And then the next day, husband says, oh, are you going to join us for dinner tonight? So then I felt guilty, like, oh, well, okay. So I felt good in the moment. And then he's like, he stole my thunder or something.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like about getting clear and agreement about what's reasonable and what's not, because what you don't want to do is to say, you know, okay, all of a sudden if you go out two nights in a row and he makes a joke about the third night, you're feeling like, oh, wait, am I taking too much, right? So it's about getting really clear with him about what's okay. And then the other thing I guess I would just plant the seed with, Julie, is that my guess is that when you got home from the gym, you probably had a little bit more energy, a little bit more calm, a little bit more access to the problem-solving part of your brain. And if you're like most of us, you probably were able to be a different kind of mom when you got home. Is that fair?
Yes, I think so, yes.
So what if going to the gym was a critical part of helping your family be successful? Would you still feel guilty?
No. Less guilty.
Are you willing to consider that that's true?
Yes, but deep down inside, there may still be something. I mean, I just can only try. You know, that's all I can do.
Well, and so here's the thing.
Give it some time.
It's the thing with anything. It's like you've got a voice in your head that says, oh, my gosh, you can't be selfish. This is terrible. You've got to stay here. You've got to be in control. Everything has to get done. Something won't get done if you go to the gym, Julie. Right? That's what the voice is saying.
Yeah.
And there's another voice that says, Julie, if you go to the gym, you're going to feel better. You'll probably be able to do more. You're going to be, you know, a stronger presence in the house. You're going to feel better about yourself. It's going to help your relationship with your kids. It's about finding ways to let one voice get a little louder than the other one.
Yeah.
So what can you do to remind yourself of the voice that you want to hear instead of the voice that you really would rather ignore?
Maybe I could put a note on the mirror or something in the bathroom.
Okay. What would the note say?
You need this.
You need this, Julie.
Yeah.
How willing are you to believe that?
I want to believe it.
Good. Good. And the more you do it and the more you feel it, the easier it's going to be to believe it.
Yep.
So you're going to put the note on a mirror. You're going to have dinner with your husband. You're going to make a commitment as to what's too much and what's not.
Right.
And then you're going to plan for making it happen. How does that feel?
It sounds good. Very good.
Okay. All right. What comes up for anybody else? As either on what I was just talking to Julie about or anything else around oxygen masks or does anybody want some laser coaching around anything? We've got a few minutes here. Y'all got really quiet. What happened? What are you thinking about?
Christina. I'm just thinking again about how I somehow planted the seed in my son of resist, you know.
So you're telling me that you think that it was your fault that he feels this way?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So are you willing to consider? Yeah, I was going to say, are you willing to consider that may not be true, Christina?
You know, some part of my brain knows that this kind of oppositionalness is really common in kids like him.
Okay. So this is ADD, okay?
It's ADD, yeah, and he's got the learning disabilities and you know, the giftedness, which is a pain in the butt. I'm not bragging about it. It's really a pain.
Well, so here's the thing, Christina. So how is it helping you to think it's your fault?
I mean, the Spanish-American War is my fault, you know? I'm a Catholic Midwest girl. Like, that's how I was raised. It's really very deep, you know? It's very deep.
Oh, it is. And it feels so that guilt that you know, you're carrying your cross, it's your burden, right? As you know, it's my job to be miserable, right?
Yes. Yeah,
Okay. So... let me know when you're ready to let go of that.
I mean, it's not, the thing that I'm aware of is it's not helping me get in a different space with my son. And
yeah.
It's really nice, yeah. You know, the teachers and the school director are just modeling, like, you know, I mean, when he starts whining to me, that's, oh, I've neglected to feed him. Because he's got the hypoglycemia, and at school they're like, you know, when you whine in class, we're going to say no, that doesn't belong here. He gets marked down on his behavior sheet, and he's just handed responsibility for it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
well,
he's taking
a step forward, and this is the thing: it's like you're fighting two things. One is Catholic guilt,
right?
And then the other is a really strong mama bear, right? So you've got both of them going on. You're the victim and you're in charge of taking care of him, right? So you've got both of those things going for you, and both of those things, so the victim energy, the conflict energy, that I got to take care of it, that fight or flight intense energy, we call it catabolic energy. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before, but it's wearing you out.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of long since worn me out, and you know, I'm not fighting as much, but I'm now in a mode of okay, and I need to find a different way to help him make better choices and you know, not create these difficulties at home, you know.
Right. And what I would say is that every time you point the finger at yourself and you say, oh, this is my fault, oh, if I treated him different, or oh, if only.
Yeah.
That's conflict too, and that's wearing
you
out.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and my husband strongly believes that, you know, if you just bark orders and lay down the law, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd have a child who would do everything we said immediately. And I know that's baloney, and I know my husband wasn't that way when he was a kid, you know, but he remains convinced of that. He's got a kind of a simplistic mindset.
Well, and it's hard to compete with that, because then if it's in his mind, does it work for him?
No, it doesn't really work.
Okay.
You know,
even though he thinks it works, it doesn't work. Right.
Yeah, right. Right, yeah.
So the tool of the day around his resistance is acknowledging and validating. I don't know if we've talked about that in this group or not, but you know, when your kid resists, when your kid gets sassy, your kid gets frustrated, the first thing you want to do, because your natural tendency is going to be to fight back. What do you mean? Too bad. Do your work. Get over it. Right? Because we get triggered. But if you spend a minute in their shoes, if you have the compassion, if you go, wow, I know, this kind of stinks. This is terrible. You have to do their dishes. And it kind of, you know, kind of sort of stinks. And anybody would want to not do it. Anybody would rather play Xbox than do dishes. I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're having to do the dishes. You know, and so it's a different way of connecting with your kids instead of just starting with, too bad, you got to do it. Because when you say, too bad, you got to do it, our kids, it immediately throws them back into that defensive mode. Does that resonate?
Yep. Yeah, and I can see. And the need for the resistance is breaking down. And I mean, I don't know about the need, but, you know, I'm just being a little bit like, no, I'm sorry, you can't read. You have to go to sleep. I'm going to read. No, you're not going to read. You know, and we may, you know, it's three times around, and then I'll say, oh, it'd be great to just stay up for hours and read, you know, but, you know, we don't have a good day at school or work the next day if we haven't had enough sleep. And so,
yeah,
he, you know, and he's not melting afterwards. So, you know, something is starting to shift a little bit.
So what could you do instead?
I mean, I got to... Just expecting compliance and then blaming myself when I don't get it is not obviously not helping.
Well, because here's the thing, is that if he's not complying, what if it's because he can't and not because he won't?
Yeah, I'm convinced it's because he won't, I think.
Well, it's easy to believe that, and on some level
yeah.
It may be true. And if you start from the other direction and say, well, what if it was that he can't? How would I
right.
treat it differently?
How would I treat it differently?
How would I treat it differently?
Yeah.
Because it's not saying you 100% believe it. But what we're trying to do here is to get you into a different enough perspective that you can think creatively again. Because if you think it's a bad kid or if you think it's your fault, you're going to be stuck without a whole lot of choices of what to do. If you
right.
can look at it differently, you get more choices. It's a bonus.
Right.
Okay. So we're getting close to time here. I want to go ahead.
I've got to think of it as I'm helping him to, you know, empowering him to make a good choice.
Yeah.
Somehow.
What do I need to do? What do I need to do to help him to be more compliant? You know, what is it that's different at school, and how can I apply some of that at home, building on where we're at right now from a relationship perspective?
Right.
Okay, so I'm on our workbook on page 41, and we're going to do our wrap-up questions. So we're going to take a minute and answer the four questions, which are, what did I focus on? What did I pay most attention to in the conversation today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? How do I set myself up for success with this action? Take a few minutes, write some notes. Would love to hear from you guys. What ahas you had and what you want to do with them. Who wants to go first?
This is Julie. I think we kind of walked through it already, but I did change my take aim, I guess, to the third thing, which was going to the gym or taking care of myself. But kind of my clarity or my takeaway is that Catholic guilt that somebody said she was Irish and Catholic. I'm Italian and Catholic, so I totally can appreciate where you're coming from. It doesn't help me in any way. That guilt doesn't serve any real purpose, and it's baloney, and I don't need that. What I need is to take care of myself so that I can be a better wife and mom and employee and just person, because I feel like I haven't been the person I want to be lately, and so I want to try to get back to who that person is. So talking through with my husband, you know, the date night, putting a note on my mirror, maybe in my car too, I think that would be helpful, just a reminder that I'm worth it and I need that time. So those are my action steps.
How's it feel, Julie?
Feels good. I'm excited.
Cool. Well,
thank you.
Christine, what about you?
I paid most attention just about the part of seeing it from their perspective and having more empathy and just kind of instead of going at them about what they haven't done and how little time they have and all the things that usually come out of my mouth, instead say, yeah, it sucks, or it is too bad, or it is hard, or but to see it from their way and to you know, show that their feelings are true, you know, that they are feeling that way and that it is hard. And my clarity is to just try to remember to think that way, to try to, or I guess maybe my action step is to remember to think that way before I jump in the other, in the parenting mode.
Mm-hmm.
Try to take a moment and connect more with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how I can set myself up for this is to try to remember to do this.
That's well, so that's awesome. The question. Is it a post-it note? Is it a reminder on your phone? Is it a deep breath before you say anything? For a while, I had this rule where I would take a deep breath before I would say anything to my kids because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't triggered. But what are you going to do to help remember to connect with your kids and to have compassion first?
I think take a breath and maybe even just, like, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And come back. I mean, like, if I feel, because I know as it's coming out of, you know it's happening, you start to see the patterns and stuff. So as I notice that, I need to walk away and kind of regroup and then either go back or not go back or, you know, but to definitely take a breath and try to regroup myself.
Yeah. How's that feel?
It feels good. I've practiced it before, and you know, you always fall back into your old ways and stuff. But when you do it, it does feel better, and it gets rid of some of the yelling and your anxiousness and a lot of the other emotions that come with that, you know, as you kind of get into it. So it definitely can, and it does work. You just have to remember to do it more often.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, you've got a 17-year-old. You've probably got at least, 15 years of the habit you've created, right? So it's going to take a little bit of practice to you're reprogramming your brain, really, to respond in a different way. So, be patient with yourself and keep trying. If you have a day where it's not easy, then try the next day or try later in the day. And, just know that it's going to take a little bit of practice. But then once you get used to it, it's like, it's like going to the gym. Once you go, 18 times in a row, you're like, wait, I want to go to the gym. When do I get to go to the gym? All right. So Tamara or Christina, what about you guys?
All right, so this is Tamara, so I'm just going to go and then I have to get back to my desk. I guess my takeaway is also the importance of self-care, even if it is before everyone else, because really if we take care of ourselves, we can better take care of our families. And I do want to invite my kids to, meditate with me again or just kind of enjoy the moments, because I know that I'm always rushing from one thing to the next and never have time to stop and smell the roses. And I know that they feel that. They feel like they're always just, they even say to me, Mom, can we have a week where, like, nobody has any appointments? And I'm like, nope, sorry, not possible. But, like, they do feel the, hustle bustle of the week. And I would love for them to just sit peacefully. And I think they really enjoyed it this morning. And we'll try to do that again.
Well, I look forward to hearing how that goes. So I think it's a beautiful idea, and you know, it's a way to connect with them, but to take care of yourself at the same time. And that's a win-win tomorrow. I think that's awesome.
I mean, it's funny because, like, I was trying to do it before they wake up, and, some, you know, they just get up so early. But now that I see how they responded to it, it's not a problem to do it when they're up. Maybe they'll even come in and join me. So.
Yeah. Awesome. All right.
So thanks. I'm going to cut off, but thank you so much, Diane.
Okay. Yep. Christina, what
take
about
care.
You? Yeah. You too.
Very similar to what I think it was Christine said, the second person who just went. Just trying to be mindful and take the deep breath and put myself in his shoes a bit and not blame myself. Oh, here's more evidence of my horrible parenting. You know, and just move away from that. And just, yeah, and you know, I've got some ideas for kind of a more long-term solution, but I think rather than trying to jump to that, I just need to maybe spend a week or two just trying to change my own response to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and maybe point out to him how maybe this isn't helping the dynamic here and doesn't really get you what you want. Just makes mom upset or dad. But, yeah, just that. And remembering also the self-care stuff, because I definitely am a more pleasant person when I've exercised. So.
Good. All right. Well, good work today, everybody. Great call. We are meeting again. So the next session, next week, there is a Lifeline call. And, again, everybody is open to join those. It's noon on Tuesday or 8 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, the 12th. And then the next group, PSS group call, is on Tuesday, the 24th. We'll be on Wednesday, the 25th. So look forward to talking to you guys again in a couple of weeks and maybe next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.